Friends, and welcome to another hour of wonderful stories as we gather around the old parlor radio. I'm your host, Corey Walker, and thank you for joining me again this week. Today I'm going to feature the world's longest running radio program. The show I speak of is the Grand Ole Opry, and it got its start on 650 AM WSM radio back on Saturday, November 28, 1925, which ironically was the day before my grandmother was born. It continues to be broadcast every Saturday to this day, is now also broadcast worldwide on the World Wide Web and satellite radio. From October 14, 1939 until October 28, 1957, the Opry was also syndicated on NBC Radio. The show was started by George D. Hay as a hillbilly music show, but today has become an entertainment dynasty far from its hillbilly roots. The episode selected for your enjoyment today is from January 21st, 1951, and stars Red Foley with special guest Hank Snow making his debut appearance at the Opry. Let's enjoy the music.
It's Grand Ole Opry time!
Howdy, all your friends and neighbors!
With Rod Brassfield, Minnie Pearl, and starring Red Foley.
Have you ever passed a corner for the grand world of little ball of rhythm has a shoeshine stand? People get the grind and they clap their hands. Keep out the foot for your leg. Chattanooga shoe shine boy. He charges you a nickel just to shine one shoe. He makes the oldest kind of leather look like new. You feel as though you want to dance when he gets through. He's a great big bundle of joy. He pops a boogie woogie rag. Chattanooga shoe shine boy. It's a wonder that the rag don't tear the way he makes it pop. Just listen to him fan the air with his hoppity-hippity-hippity-hoppity-hoppity-hippity-hop. He opens up for business when the clock strikes nine. He likes to get them early when they're feeling fine. Everybody gets a little rise and shine with a great big bundle of joy. He pops the boogie-woogie rag, the Chattanooga shoeshine boy. Here goes now. It's a wonder that the rag don't tear the way he makes it pop. Just listen to him fan the air. Here goes. He opens up for business when the clock strikes nine. He likes to get them early when they're feeling fine. Everybody gets a little rise and shine with a great big bundle of joy. He pops a boogie woogie rag, the Chattanooga shoe shine boy. Here goes once more.
Folks, who's this in the Opry tonight, Red?
Our good friend Hank Snow. Yes, sir.
Say, speaking of snow, Red, somebody just drifted in and wants attention.
Well, I should say it is somebody. It's Hornwall's most eligible bachelor, Rod Brassfield.
Mr. Mill. Glad to be here tonight. I'm telling you, find that it's cold outside. Flitter, it's just plumb cold. Mr. Foley?
Yeah.
I'll have you know you don't realize it, but you are looking at an artist. I pay artist service, I ought to be.
You a painting artist, Fry?
Yes, sir. I'm a painting artist, and I opened me up, last week, opened me up a studio because I wanted folks to buy my pictures and hang them up on the walls or in home wall. I put up a sign that says, "My praises by critics is widely sung. They say I'm an artist that ought to be hung." Well, sir, no sooner than I had got on my artist outfit there that I painted, and you know, got my brushes out. My name ain't Fuller neither, now shut up. Got my brushes out and everything. My gal Susie come running in there. She says, "Rodney, I want my picture painted the worst way." I said, "Susie, you couldn't have picked a better man to do it." Susie took one look at some of my samples of my work there, and she stopped in front of one of the canvases there, and she said, "Rodney, this would be a beautiful portrait. This here is, it's got such soul, such expression. I said, "Oh, Flitter, Susie, that there ain't no picture. That's where I clean my brushes." Susie ain't got no sense. She ain't got a dab of sense. I get so mad at her sometimes, I could just eat a banana. Finally, she stopped in front of one of my pictures there, and she said, "Rodney, this here would be a good picture of your Uncle Sipe if it wasn't so blurry and jumpy." "Why is it so blurry and jumpy?" And I told her, I said, "Why, Flitter, Susie, Uncle Sipe had a few too many the other day, a few too many when he come in to get the picture painted. He had a little Mountain Dew there." And I says, "I had to paint him with the hiccups."
Well, so tonight's guest is one of the most colorful fellows we've ever known, and one of the nicest, I might add. He was born in Canada and shipped to sea as a cabin boy when he was 12. He was a lumberjack in Oregon at 15 and a horse wrangler at 16. He bought a guitar for $15 and went all through Halifax picking and singing, and finally was hired at a radio station. He joined the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation in 1934, and in 1937, one of the big recording companies heard him, and he's been making successful records ever since. Folks, give one of your biggest and heartiest welcomes to Hank Snow. Here's Hank. Hank, my friend, we're glad to have you with us here tonight, and we want to hear you sing. What's it going to be, huh?
It's going to be Nobody's Child.
Nobody's Red. Child. It's a fine one. Let's hear it.
I was slowly passing an orphan's home one day, and stopped there just a moment just to watch the children play. Alone a boy was standing, and when I asked him why, he turned with eyes that could not see, and he began to cry. "I'm nobody's child, I'm nobody's child, I'm like a flower just growing wild. No mommy's kisses and no daddy's smile, nobody wants me, I'm nobody's child. No mother's arms to hold me or soothe me when I cry. Sometimes it gets so lonely here, I wish that I could die. I'd walk the streets of heaven where all the blind can see, and just like all the other kids, there'd be a home for me. I just can't seem to figure out
while the folks all pass me by. 'Cause I know that it's true that God takes little blind children with him in the sky. And they tell me that I'm oh so pretty, and they seem to like my big curls of gold. But then they take some other little child, and I'm left here all alone. I'm nobody's child. I'm nobody's child. I'm like a flower just growing wild. No mommy's kisses and no daddy's smile. Nobody wants me. I'm nobody's child.
Mighty pretty song. Mighty pretty there, Hank Snow. Here's Wally Fowler now and his famous Oak Ridge Quartet. We're mighty glad to welcome the boys back to the fold, and they're singing one of their better spirituals called Lead Me to That Rock.
Why don't you lead me to that rock that is higher than I? Yes, lead me to that rock. Why don't you lead me to that rock that is higher than I? Thou hast been a shelter for me.
Well, if you go down in yonder's fold, search among the sheep,
my brother, thou hast been a shelter for me.
You will find him there, so I am told, for those he loves to keep,
my brother, thou hast been a shelter for me. Why don't you lead me to that rock that is higher than I? Oh, lead me to that rock.
Yes,
lead me to that rock. Why don't you lead me to that rock that is higher than I? Thou hast been a shelter for me.
Why don't you lead me to the rock that's higher than I? Why don't you lead me to the rock that's higher than I? Why don't you lead me to the rock that's
higher than I? Thou hast been a shelter for me.
Boom, 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 boom.
Lead on
higher than I.
Yes,
to the rock that's higher than I.
Why don't you lead me
to the rock that's higher than I,
thou hast been a shelter for me. Thank you very much. That was mighty pretty. Well, see, we can hear Uncle Aggie McEwen's accordion playing low and soft like back there. It sort of reminds us that it's for him time. That means, of course, a few quiet moments of music and meditation. You'll find tonight's hymn on page 67 of your brown hymn book, so sing along with me if you'd like to on a little song called Cleanse Me.
Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Oh, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray.
Claude Sharp now and his old Hickory Singers for a little close harmony here. Marvin Hughes, you give the boys a little introduction there to Are You From Dixie?
Hello there, stranger, how do you do? There's something I'd like to say to you. Don't be surprised, you recognize I'm no detective, but I'm just surmised. You're from the place where I long to be. Your smiling face seems to say to me, you're from my own land, a sunny homeland. Tell me, can it be? Are you from Dixie? I said from Dixie, where the fields are far and beckon to me. And glad to see you, tell me how be you and the friends I'm longing to see. If you're from Alabama, Tennessee, or Carolina, any place below the Mason-Dixon line, then you're from Dixie. Hooray for Dixie, cause I'm from Dixie too. Are you from Dixie? I say from Dixie, where the fields are far and beckon to me. I'm glad to see you, tell me how be you and the friends I'm longing to see. If you're from Alabama, Tennessee, or Carolina, any place below the Mason-Dixon line, then you're from Dixie. Hooray for Dixie, cause I'm from Dixie too.
Singers and a song like that makes me mighty glad I'm from Dixie.
Well, yes. I agree with you 100%, Grant, just as I agree that for the timeliest news of the doings down in Grinder Switch, everybody should listen to
Cousin Minnie Pearl!
These awful nice fellas up here on the stage with me. Oh, you take Claude Sharp, for instance. Hey, look, he's just cute as a bug's ear. Looks a little like a bug's ear, too, come think of it. I'll tell you right now, though, you know, we play a little game up here, all of us. I chase the fellas, and they run away from me, and then the fellas run away from me, and I chase them. But the idea is that if I catch one of them, he's supposed to kiss me. One day I caught Red Foley, and you never seen a fella so shy and embarrassed. He was. He is so shy he paid Jack Stapp $4 to kiss me in his place. Feller kissing me as long as I've got my feller Hezzy. Oh, Hezzy keeps saying I'm all the world to him. And then he starts telling me about how the world's in such an awful shape. I went to Brother's room to call him for breakfast this morning, and oh, it's been cold at Grinder Switch where we's at. And I went up to Brother's room. Well, it has. It's cold. And I went to Brother's room to call him for breakfast, and oh, it is late. It must have been daylight. And there was Brother with 10 quilts over him. But he had his feet hanging out the bed. Them feet were so froze, they were just blue. And I says to him, "Brother, why don't you put your feet under the covers?" And he said, "What? Bring them cold old things in bed with me?" Brother's so smart, I declare. It runs in our family. Well, said, "Oh, Uncle, I'm going to run out by the time it got to me. Uncle Nabob don't seem to mind the cold weather so much, though. I don't exactly get the connection, but he says that you never hear tell of an automobile freezing up if it had enough alcohol in it." Poor Uncle Nabob, Aunt Ambrosie washed his long-handled underwear and hung them out in the cold, and they frizz just stiff on the line. And poor Uncle Nabob almost frizz to death before they got dry. Maybe Aunt Ambrosie oughtn't to have washed the underwear with Uncle Nabob still in them. Yes, sir, Rodley.
Howdy, Miss Minnie.
Yes, Rodley.
Yeah. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Well, I'm glad to see you. Did I understand you to say that the air was a little nippy in Grinder Switch?
Nippy? Why, Rodley, it was the arm's reach below zero.
How much below?
20 below.
Stop that, woman. Shucks, Minnie, if it don't get no colder than that in Hornwall, I'm telling you the truth, we get the spring fever in Hornwall when it's only 20 below. In Hornwall, the tea kettle spouts steam icicles.
You ought to hear it out singing tea kettle, Rodley.
Singing tea kettle?
Yeah.
Well, that ain't nothing to brag about. A lot of people got singing tea kettle. Flitter,
yeah.
Anybody.
But our singing tea kettle was singing, "Baby, it's cold outside. I oughtn't to stay.
Baby, it's cold outside."
Well,
it ain't so hot tonight. It's cold outside. Oh, baby, it's...
That's all right, Rodney. Well, that's pretty cold. Say it is cold in Hornwall, Rodley.
Hey, I'm telling you the truth. It was pretty cold in Hornwall last week, Miss Minnie. And when my poppy come home and found my twin brothers, old Pete and Repeat, in front of a roaring fire there, he just got plumb mad. He just mad he could have had a goat burger.
Well, why was you poppy mad just because Pete and Repeat was standing in front of a roaring fire when he come home?
We didn't have no fireplace. Ain't that
Rodley,
silly?
Rodley, I was worried about brother. You know, this cold weather, he got awful sick.
Sure enough. Oh, brother
yes.
Sick?
Yes.
Oh,
got a bad
I'm sorry.
Cold.
I'm sorry to hear that. I've just been a sniffing. I've took any hist and everything.
Is that right?
Just been a sniffing and a snorting all day.
Well, I went uptown and got brother some medicine, but it like killed him.
It did?
Yeah.
Oh, well, why?
Well,
why?
It wasn't the medicine. Hurt him. It is the directions on the bottle.
Oh.
Said take it two nights of running and skip a night. That is mad them nights he took it a running, but them nights they'd take it a skipping. Not like to kill, brother.
Well, come on up here, Hank. What you gonna do for us this time, buddy?
I wonder where you are tonight. Upon
window pane tonight. And though your love was even older, I wonder where you are tonight.
Oh, it's mighty pretty, Hank Snow. Well, I see it's almost time to leave you folks now, but I'd like to sing a brand new one here called Careless Kisses.
Your careless kisses are causing me to careless for you. Your careless kisses makes me wonder if your heart is careless too. You tell me it's nothing. You only kiss my friends. Hello, please tell me, darling, how many people can I know who share your kisses? Your careless kisses, that's causing me too careless for you.
This program was previously released by NBC, the National Broadcasting Company, for listeners in the United States, and rebroadcast for our servicemen and women overseas. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
Enjoyed that trip back in time to that Saturday, January 21st, 1950 episode of the Grand Opry featuring Red Foley. Hank Snow guest starred, making what I believe was his first appearance on the Opry before becoming an official member later that year. I mistakenly identified the year as 1951 at the beginning of the show, but it was actually 1950. Although the network portion of the Grand Opry was always only 30 minutes, the program itself runs for much longer, with some shows being as much as 4 hours long. Next, we're going to hear another famous juvenile series from the makers of The Lone Ranger and The Green Hornet. The series is The Challenge of the Yukon, featuring Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police during the days of the Klondike Gold Rush here in Canada. The series ran from February 3, 1938 until June 9, 1955, starting on WXYZ Detroit and then moving to ABC and later Mutual. This episode, titled Wolf Cub, from Thursday, June 12, 1947, is the first ABC episode and the first episode to be 30 minutes instead of 15. Let's start the adventure.
The Challenge of the Yukon. Its king, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the North Country, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold. Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the greedy race for riches. Now back to the days of the gold rush, when Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog King battled through storm and snow to preserve law and order as they met the Challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston, tall, young, and clear-eyed, was typical of the men who could be found in the Northwest Mounted Police Force of the Yukon Country. He had taken advantage of a short holiday and was visiting a trapper friend of his, Dave Ferguson, who lived near Copper Creek. It was early spring, and Dave and the sergeant were doing some hunting along the Pelly River. The ice had broken, and huge cakes of it were floating down the stream. Beside the Mountie was his big lead dog, King, his constant companion, who seemed to enjoy the welcome sunshine as much as his master. Dave, too, was in a fine mood.
Yeah, it's good to feel the sun in your face again. I'm sure glad to see the winter end.
Spring's the best season up here in the North Country, Dave. Always a great day when the ice breaks.
Yeah, the current certainly carries those ice cakes along fast. Look at them.
Yeah, won't be long before... Dave, what's that on that piece of ice coming down there? Looks like a puppy.
Well, I don't see it.
Floating this way, not far from shore. Right there, see it?
Oh, yeah. It's an animal of some kind. Bet it's dead, though.
I'm going to have a look through my field glasses. No, it's not dead. It's moving. It's either a pup or a wolf cub.
Well, poor little mutt. Maybe we could save him.
That cake of ice will be across from us in a minute. I'm going to tie this rope to King. Maybe he can get the pup off the ice. Here, King. I'll tie this rope to his harness so he won't get carried downstream too far.
Better hurry. Here it comes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see the pup now. He's sprawled out flat.
And if he moves, he'll slip off. There. Rope's tied. Now King can just see him.
That ice cake is coming this way, luckily. Here it is.
King, old fella. See out there, boy? Get him. Bring him in.
He sees him. He knows what you want.
Get him, King. I hope this rope's long enough.
That's a swift current for your dog.
Oh, don't worry, Dave. He's been in worse than that. You may have to help me pull him in, though.
He's almost reached the pup. Wow, that ice cake almost hit him.
Get him, boy. There, he's reached it.
The ice cake tipped over. Can you see the little one?
King will get him. There, he's coming in. Help me with this rope, Dave.
That current is strong. Hope he got the pup.
He has something in his mouth. One King. Pull, Dave.
He's almost in the shore.
A little more will do it. There we are.
Lucky. He's a powerful dog.
Good boy, King. Bring him here, fella.
The pup's probably dead.
That's a boy. Drop him, King.
Poor little whelp. Is he dead?
Yeah. Not very much alive. Why, not a dog, Dave. It's a wolf cub.
A wolf? Well, of all the blasted luck. All that trouble for one of them pesky varmints. Throw him back in.
Poor little fella. He struggled hard to keep alive. Here, you hold him while I untie the rope on King. Better put him in your parka. He's freezing.
Oh, you're too darn soft-hearted, Preston. I never... He is cold, ain't he? I'll dry him off. I suppose you can't let your dog go to all that trouble and then let him see us toss it right back in again.
Hold still, King. Do I get
the time to die? Yeah, you dried off, you little rascal. That should make you feel better. Now, get in here inside my parka. Say...
What's wrong?
His face is bleeding.
Oh?
He's got a long gash in it.
Oh, King probably creased him with a tooth when he grabbed him. Not bad.
He'll heal up all right. I feel like an old fool. Not only rescuing a wolf, but putting him inside my coat and getting blood all over me. And me, a trapper.
Well, come on, Dave. Let's go back to your cabin and let these animals get dried off. Here, King. Here, boy.
Dave held the small wolf cub in one big hand before the fire. His firm resolve to kill it began to weaken. Sergeant Preston smiled as he watched the big trapper stroking the squirming ball of fur.
He likes that heat, Dave. Oh, got any canned milk?
You talk as if I'm going to keep him.
Oh.
Well, I guess I better give him some milk as long as he's hungry.
He's too little to eat anything solid.
Barely got his eyes open. He'll lie down there, young fella, till I get some milk.
It's going to be all right, Dave. Look at him crawling around.
I swear, Preston, I never saw anybody who liked animals the way you do.
Well, you've got to admit he's a cute little beggar.
Never thought I'd be nursing a wolf. The other trappers hear about this, they'll lynch me.
Maybe you'll be able to tame him, Dave. They're a lot like dogs.
I ain't going to keep him.
Oh?
Here, you little varmint, drink this.
You know, Dave, you shouldn't start feeding him with a spoon. It's going to make you feel like his mother.
Oh, you're crazy. Look at him drink it. He was starved. Come on, you. Take some more.
What are you going to name him, Dave?
Think you're funny, don't you?
Now, listen. You've got a maternal look in your eye right now. You know you're going to keep him.
Keep a wolf and me a trapper?
Too bad he'll carry the scar the Slash King gave him. He'll grow up with that mark on his nose. What? That's it, Dave. That's a name for him. Call him Slash.
Slash. That is a good name.
Good. It's perfect. It fits him.
You know, I'll bet he grows up to be a good, strong animal. Living through what he did, getting ducked in the river and everything.
Well, there's no doubt about it. He has a rugged constitution.
Now, here you, Slash. Take some more milk. You really think I could tame him?
Well, lots of men have tamed wolves. They make good sled dogs.
Being alone so much, it might be nice to have a pet. Oh, but a wolf.
Well, why not?
Well, maybe I'll try it for a while. Just to see what happens.
And so, Dave Ferguson kept the wolf cub. Whenever Sergeant Preston was in the territory, he stopped to see Dave and watched with interest the affection that grew between the animal and the trapper. As the wolf matured, he and King ignored each other, but never fought. On one of his visits, the Mountie watched Slash closely as he and Dave talked in the cabin.
Slash has gotten to be a big fella, isn't he?
He sure is. Timber wolves get pretty big.
You know, Dave, I think Slash has some dog in him. You ever noticed when you talk to him, he half wags his tail?
Wolves do that, don't they?
Oh, no, they don't. And his fur, it has quite a lot of black in it.
Well, I did notice that. But there are black wolves, the Arctic kind. Maybe he has some dog in him somewhere. About an eighth, maybe. Hope there's enough to keep him liking to stay with me.
Do you have any trouble with him when strangers come to see him?
Yeah, he likes you and King, but when anyone new comes around, I have to chain him up.
Oh?
He won't make friends with anyone else.
Well, he certainly is fond of you, Dave. His eyes never leave him.
Yep. We're pretty close, Slash and me. He's never lost that scar on his nose that King's tooth made. That was sure a good name you picked for him.
That was almost a year ago, wasn't it? Spring's just about here again.
With the return of spring, the Yukon took on new signs of life. The ice broke in the rivers, the birds began to return, and the wild things in the forest began to stir. Dave sat alone in his cabin one evening with Slash. A bright moon was shining over the clearing. Suddenly, Slash raised his head, and a deep whine stirred in his throat.
What's the matter, Slash? Want to go for a walk? Yeah, it's almost bedtime. Come on, fella. Guess I better put a leash on you. You might start chasing something and not come back. Yeah, here it is. Come here, boy. Here you are. Now, come on, let's go. Yeah, it's a mighty pretty night. It's getting warmer. Oh, so that's what you heard a while ago. Back, Slash. Stop pulling at this leash. You want to go with him, don't you, fella? You wanted to go for a long time. I know. Keep trying to pretend that you don't. Keep telling myself that you're happy here with me. But it ain't true. All right, Slash. I'm going to let you go. Hey, our fella. Go on. Go back to him. You'll be happier. Goodbye, Slash. I'll miss you, boy. But I couldn't keep you here.
Hello, Dave.
Yeah? Who is it? That's you, Tom.
Yeah. It's kind of late for a neighborly call, but I got lonesome. It was such a nice night, I thought I'd walk over for a while.
Yeah, glad you did. Come on in.
You got Slash tied up? I don't want to get a piece taken out of me.
Slash isn't here.
What? Where is he?
Tom, I know you're a trapper. I never did approve of Slash.
That's right. All wolves are varmints and ought to be destroyed. They kill more game than we can trap in one season.
I know, but Slash was different.
Did you finally come to your senses and put a bullet through him?
No, Tom, I didn't.
Why did you do it?
Have a chair, Tom. Might as well tear to him. You won't like it, but I let him go.
Dave Ferguson! You mean to tell me you let a full-grown wolf loose in our trapping territory?
Yep.
I guess you've lost your mind. Why didn't you let me shoot him for you?
You're pretty fond of your dogs, ain't you?
Sure, but they're useful. They're good sled dogs. Why, how'd we ever haul our furs into Selkirk to trade them if we didn't have my dog team?
I guess I can't make you understand. Slash was like a friend, even if he wasn't useful.
Winter had again clamped its icy fingers on the Yukon territory. The long nights were lonely ones for Dave, and his face lighted up with pleasure as he heard the sound of Sergeant Preston's dog team stopping at the cabin.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, Sergeant Preston, how are you?
Can you put me up for the night?
I sure can. Here, let me give you a hand with them dogs.
I'll put them in your shed and feed them.
I was just going to have some supper, and you're just in time.
Good.
It sure is nice to have.
Well, that was a fine supper, Dave. Now, tell me about Slash. Ever seen him since you let him go?
Yep, a couple of times.
You mean he came back here?
The last time was a couple of months ago. Early one morning, I opened the door and he was standing at the edge of the clearing looking at the cabin. I called to him, came up to me and touched my hand with his nose. When I tried to pet him, he slunk away from me and he was gone. Haven't seen him since.
Well, that proves there must be some dog blood in him. He misses you, even though he'd rather go wild.
He don't miss me the way I miss him. He's more than a pet. He's like a friend.
I wish you still had him, Dave, especially now.
Oh, why now? What do you mean?
He'd be good protection. The reason I came over here this time is to investigate some robberies. Some fur thieves have been very active in this territory.
Yeah, I've heard about them.
You've had a fine catch this season, haven't you?
I sure have. I figured to make more out of my furs this year than I did pan and gold last summer. Uh-huh. Got some prime mink, a lot of nice fox, and some lynx.
You're so alone out here, it's dangerous.
Well, my neighbor, Tom Holt, is a trapper. He has a good dog team, and we're planning to haul our furs to Selkirk in a week or so. We can get a better price for them there.
Well, in the meantime, be careful, Dave. I stopped here to warn you.
Have you any idea who's doing the robbing?
I saw the trapper who was robbed last. Jake Reeves lives about 30 miles north of here. His dog team was stolen, too. Two men knocked him out on the trail and stole everything. Fortunately, a prospector found him or he'd have frozen to death.
Did he see the man?
No, Dave. They got him from behind. But he gave me a good description of the furs he had and also his dog team. Now I'm making a tour of all the trading posts in this territory to see if I can trace him.
Then you'll be around in this district for a while.
Well, within a radius of 50 miles, if you call that close.
I was just hoping I'd see you again soon.
I'll be back eventually, but I have to get a line on these thieves. I'm heading west tomorrow.
It was over a week later that Sergeant Preston drove his tired dog team into the small settlement called Cross's Landing. He had traveled over 30 miles that day, and the dogs lay down in the snow as soon as they stopped in front of Jules Dupree's trading post. As he started into the store, he suddenly noticed a certain dog team in front of it, among several other teams, and stopped to look closer at it.
Get back, King. Go on back, fella. This lead dog may not like you. Hello there, old boy. Wonder if your name's Duke. Hello, Duke. Uh-huh. Looks as if I guessed it. Let's see now. Black with yellow mask, part Newfoundland. Two white Siberians and two Malamutes. Guess I'll have a look at this sled. This is it, all right. I'm lucky.
Here, King. Come here.
We're going in here, fella. I think we've caught the men we're after.
Hello, Sergeant.
Oh, there's Preston. Hello, Sergeant.
Hello, Jules. How are you, boys?
Hi, one Sergeant. Minute, I'll be
Which one of you men owns that dog team out in front? The one with the black lead dog.
My dog team's out there, Sergeant.
So's mine. Which one do you mean?
Now look through the window here. That one with the big black dog and the two white Siberians over there to the left.
That ain't mine, Sergeant.
Huh?
Mine is the one with the Malnut lead.
No, it ain't mine either.
Any of you other men own it?
We ain't got a dog team.
Well, somebody must own it.
Hey, where those two men go that were in here a few minutes ago?
Was there someone else here when I came?
Oui, two trappers.
Huh?
See, that is their fur catch on the floor. They go outside door just a few minutes ago.
Are they coming back?
Oui. Me, I am busy with Jake. I think maybe they go over to the bar for drink till I get not busy.
Did they see me drive my team up in front?
I wasn't watching them, Sergeant.
One of them was standing near the window, I think.
Uh-huh.
Oh, they will come back. They'll leave all their furs.
I'll go over to the bar and see if they're there.
Darkness had fallen,
and snow was coming down in huge, soft flakes as two men made their way through the woods. One man was tall and heavy-set and grumbled as his foot occasionally broke through the crust of snow. His lighter companion called to him impatiently.
Hurry, Steve. I gotta go faster.
They're safe enough now. Quit your squawking.
That man, he might trail us.
Yeah, he can't trail us in the dark when he didn't know which way we went. By the time he went over and questioned everyone in the bar, it was pitch dark.
Just the same, I'm scared.
Yeah, we're more than 5 miles from town, and the snow will cover our tracks by morning. I'm going to sit down and rest a while. Here's a log.
Don't stop now, Steve.
Sit down. We're safe, I tell you. Have all the rotten luck having that Mountie come.
It's a good thing I happened to be looking out the window when he went over and looked at our team.
Maybe we should have killed the old codger that owned it. Maybe we're crazy. That Mountie probably wasn't even looking for us. Maybe he was just interested in the dogs.
We couldn't take a chance. Anyway, we traded most of the furs at other posts. We didn't lose too much.
We got to get another dog team and supplies.
Oh. Steve, you hear that? It's a wolf.
What of it? We got our guns.
I don't like being out in the woods like this. Come on, let's keep going. We'll get to the Pelly River if we keep straight ahead about 5 miles. Come on now.
No, all right. But I think we ought to stop and maybe build a fire.
Let's keep going. Them wolf howls are behind us. Those critters get kind of hungry this time of year. I'm getting tired. We walked miles.
Yeah, but we made the Pelly River. It ain't far from here to Selkirk. It's easier traveling on this ice.
Listen to those devils. They sound closer.
Maybe we'd better stop and make a fire.
Yeah, I'll scout around and see if I can find some wood.
Dave Ferguson and Tom Holt were on their way to Selkirk with their big load of furs. A thin new moon cast a faint glow on the river trail. The sleigh bells jingled merrily as the sled rode smoothly over the ice.
Glad it stopped snowing, Dave. This trail is pretty smooth.
I don't like traveling after dark like this. Hope we reach Selkirk soon.
It's the one thing I don't like about this country. This early winter darkness. Oh, it sure makes up for it in summer, though, with the sun shining all day.
I'm glad you got those bells in your dog team. Makes things a little more cheerful somehow.
Got them at the trading post last month. Some people don't like them, but I do. They let everybody know you're coming. Yes, sir, I sure like these bells of mine.
Around the bend in the river, Steve suddenly grabbed Slim's arm and pulled him to the side of the trail.
Slim, that sounds like a dog team. Listen.
Yeah, it is a dog team. They're coming around the bend behind us. You think it's a Mountie?
Nah, he couldn't be coming from that direction. Now, come on. Get over here to the side of the river.
What are you going to do, hide?
Well, we need a dog team and supplies, don't we?
Yeah, but...
Well, we're getting them. Now, get your gun ready.
I got it.
Here they come. It's lucky we got a little moonlight. It's just enough.
There's two of them, Steve.
I'll get the one on the other side. Come on, Slim.
Good shot.
Stick them up, you. You saw what your partner got.
Why, you dirty...
That ought to keep him quiet for a while.
Make it work, Slim. Now stop that dog team.
Well, you huskies, well.
Hey, what's on that sled? Can you see?
A big load of furs and supplies.
Fine. Let's see who the man you shot has a gun on him or any money. I'll search this one. And if he's packing a gun, take it.
This one has a gun. I got it.
Is he dead?
No, but he's knocked out. You shot him in the shoulder.
Now, come on. We'll take the dog team and get out of here.
We just want to leave him here like this?
Yeah. Yeah, this one is unconscious, too. Yeah, with no guns and that one bleeding all over the place, it won't get far. Hear that?
Yeah, it's creepy.
Yeah, they're getting close. Let's get out of here. Hurry up, Slim.
Get that sled going.
Right away.
Slim and Steve had left when Dave regained consciousness. A sharp pain stabbed through his head as he raised up, but he dragged himself painfully to Tom Holt's side.
Tom! Tom, are you still alive?
Dave,
it's you. They shot you.
I can't
move. My shoulder. Dave, did you hear that? It was a wolf.
Yes, I heard him. And those skunks took our guns. I got nothing but a knife.
I'm bleeding from this wound. If those wolves get the scent of it, well... Dave, what do we do?
I'll cut some branches with this knife and start a fire.
That'll keep them off for a while. You lie still. I'll build a fire beside you.
Dave stumbled through the trees that lined the riverbank, breaking off dead branches. The howl of a wolf close by sent him running back to town. With shaking hands, he lighted the handful of twigs. As the tiny flame leaped up, he fed it with larger branches from the pitifully small supply beside him. It was then he saw a pair of fiery eyes shining from a nearby thicket. Desperately, he piled more branches on the fire.
Dave, you see it? Over there in the bushes. It's a wolf.
Don't worry, Tom. It won't come near us while we've got a fire.
Look, Dave. On this other side, there's another one.
Oh, if I only had more wood.
You can't leave to get any more. Those branches won't last more than a few minutes.
I've got my knife. I'll do what I can. This fire will be dying down.
Over there. There's a third one, Dave. A big gray one. Look, he's coming over this way.
I got my knife ready. When he jumps us, Tom!
What's the matter?
Tom, I can see him. He has a big scar on his muzzle. It's Slash. Slash, here, boy. Don't you know me?
Are you sure? Look, he's coming to you.
Slash, old fella. You know me. Slash.
Look out, Dave. That other wolf is moving in.
Slash jumped him. He's fighting for me, Tom.
You can't fight both of them. They're tearing him to pieces.
There's another one coming through the trees. No, that's a dog.
He's helping Slash. That dog, it looks like...
Someone's coming. You hear those shots? Help! Help!
I'm coming.
That's Sergeant Preston. That dog is King. King and Slash saved us, Tom. That's King coming from the shadows.
But Slash... Where's Slash?
Three wolves are lying there in the snow. One of them is Slash. I'm going to see you.
Hello! Are you all right?
Preston, we're so glad to see you.
Hey, it's you.
I saw your fire and heard those wolves. I sent King ahead.
He got here in time to help, just in time. Preston, help Tom. I'll find Slash. One of these is Slash. He saved us. He fought those wolves and King helped him. Oh, here he is. Oh, he's still breathing. He's badly torn. He's bleeding.
There. All right.
There, old boy.
Now you're sure glad you got here, Sergeant.
Yeah. Put him down here, yeah. Dave.
Is Tom hurt bad, Sergeant?
I got a bullet in my shoulder. I bled some, but it isn't too bad.
I'll get you on my sled right away, Tom. There's a trapper's cabin about a mile from here, and I can take you there. Well, King, old boy, you didn't get hurt much, did you?
He got here just in time to take care of one of those wolves. Slash was fighting both of them.
How is Slash, Dave?
He's alive.
Good.
Preston... Can we take Slash to the cabin, too, along with Tom on the sled?
I'll say we're going to take him. Oh, to think I wanted to put a bullet in him once.
Of course we'll take him, Dave. Now tell me what happened to you while we got started. Many hours before the late morning sun had risen, Sergeant Preston was again on the trail of the fur thieves. The snow had stopped, and the trail was clearly written on the smooth ice of the river. The Mountie pressed his team hard. A day, a night, another day passed. Darkness had fallen when Sergeant Preston saw a campfire ahead. King, you're coming with me. Now stay beside me, fella.
Approaching the campfire from downwind, in order not to alarm the men's dog team, the Mountie walked quietly toward it, screened by the spruce trees. Steve and Slim were preparing their sleeping rolls, when suddenly Sergeant Preston's voice rang out in the stillness.
Stay right where you are and keep your hands off your guns.
What? Who are you?
Mountie.
I'd like to examine those furs on your sled.
There are furs. We're trappers.
I've been on your trail for some time. You didn't stop to trade those furs in Selkirk. You went around the town. I followed you.
It wasn't our trail you followed.
Then you won't mind if I have a look at those furs.
No, you don't, Mountie. I'll take them off.
Stand right where you are, Slim. You're covered. Give me your gun.
I wasn't going to shoot.
Thanks.
Take this dog away.
After I get the gun you pulled on me. There. All right, King. Let him up, boy. I told you not to reach for your gun. My dog's trained to watch for that. Get up. I arrest you both in the name of the Queen.
A few weeks had passed, and a full moon brightened the clearing around Dave Ferguson's cabin. Dave smiled as he opened the door and saw the tall form of Sergeant Preston with King beside him.
Preston, I've been wondering about you. Come in.
I came as soon as I could, Dave. I knew you'd want to hear what happened. But first, how's... I don't have to ask. There he is in front of the fire. How are you, Slash, old fella?
He's fit as a fiddle. Take your park off, Sergeant, and sit down.
Thanks.
Hello there, King.
Oh, he and Slash won't fight. Lie down here, King.
Sit down, and I'll make some hot tea. Tell me, did you get them yellow rats that robbed us?
Yes, I got them, Dave. They're both in jail now, and I brought most of your furs back, too.
Good for you, Preston.
Tom better?
Yep. He stayed with me until 2 days ago, and he's all well again.
Good.
Where did you catch those thieves?
Well, they got a good start that night when I had to take you and Tom to Bill's cabin. But we got on their trail again a few days later. I got them on the other side of Selkirk, going south.
Yeah, it sure was lucky that you trailed them through the woods that night from Cross's Landing.
King picked up their tracks from the side door of the trading post. I've never been able to follow them without him.
And King's the one who saved a wolf cub from a piece of ice floating down the river. If he hadn't done that... that, Preston? It sure sends chills up my spine.
King doesn't like it either. But it doesn't seem to bother Slash. He didn't even raise his head.
He don't seem to want to leave me anymore. I guess he's made up his mind to stay.
I'm glad, Dave. Well, King, looks as if this case is closed.
Challenge of the Yukon, a copyrighted feature, is brought to you each week at this same time, and all characters, names, and incidents used are fictitious. Listen again next week to another exciting adventure during the days of the Gold Rush. Don Hendricks speaking. This program came to you from Detroit. How many times have you looked up the meaning of a word only to forget its definition? Perhaps one word that baffles you is paradox. Webster tells us that paradox applies to any statement that seems self-contradictory, but oftentimes is really true. No, this isn't a lesson on word meanings. It's an roundabout method of pointing out something about our famous forum, America's Town Meeting of the Air. Newspaper headlines, magazine articles, even commentators often bring you conflicting opinions, so that the news picture is just one big paradox. Well, to get to the point, America's Town Meeting is a program designed to straighten your thinking. Here's a show that airs controversial issues by introducing well-known authorities who discuss these issues from every angle. For a good, sound opinion on today's news puzzle, listen tonight when America's Town Meeting is heard over most ABC stations. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
What a thrilling adventure up in Canada's Yukon Territory. You're listening to the Challenge of the Yukon episode Wolf Cub from Thursday, June 12, 1947 on the ABC network. That episode starred Paul Sutton as Sergeant Preston and was the first 30-minute episode of the series. This series was produced by George W. Trindle, who also created and produced The Lone Ranger and The Green Hornet, also of WXYZ Detroit. Well, I'm afraid our time for today is fast drawing to a close. I would love to hear your thoughts on today's show. You may email me at opr@telus.net or write to CFIS FM 2880 15th Avenue, Prince George, BC, Canada, Victor 2 Mike, 1 Tango 1, or phone the station at 250-562-2347 and leave a message. From the CFIS-FM studios in Prince George, B.C., I'm Corey Walker. Have a great week. ¶¶